Welcome to Wellness Radio with Dr. Jeanette Gallagher as your host. Her show discusses topics of health, wellness, and spirituality and is about discovering your place in this great universe from your cells to the cosmos. Along with her guest, in casual conversation, she strives to ask the difficult questions that may be holding you back from a vibrant life and shares new ideas that may inspire you to make a change in your life that you only can see in your dreams. And now, here is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Wellness Radio. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. It's a pleasure to have you with us here this evening. Tonight, we are going to be talking about how to feel good. Everybody wants that magic bullet. Everything's going to be hunky-dory. Everything's going to be, just give me the answer so I can go about my life. What really is the idea of feeling good? How can we feel good throughout our life versus hitting the wall and then we always have to fix it? So many times people say, you know, I'm doing great and they're out and they're partying all night and, hey, I live in the land of sugar. I live in New Orleans, Louisiana. Let me tell you, Louisiana is number one for sugar production in the entire U.S. Well, no kidding. They eat it, they drink it, they grow it, and they also have all of the side effects of it. And we wonder what is really going on with our health these days. We want to blame doctors for it. We want to blame insurance for it. We say, oh my gosh, there's not enough money. There's not enough this. There's not enough that. What part are we really playing in our own health? And this is always someone else's job. You know, if we look at the history of healthcare over the many eons, we say, what is really going with it? What happened is that once they came out and they said an antibiotic is the bullet, then physicians became really popular because the bullet could fix anything. And then people got sicker and sicker, and then they started having chronic disease. Then they started having cancer. Then they started having issues with autoimmune issues. And now we're saying, now what? Where's that magic bullet? You can fix it. You fixed everything before. You can fix this. Well, maybe, maybe not. Today, my guest is Cheryl Meyer. Her book is It Feels Good to Feel Good. Learn to eliminate toxins, reverse inflammation, and feel great again. All in a process. There is no quick bullet. There is no quick answer. It's really about a lifestyle and the way in which we choose to exist in this world. So, Cheryl, thank you so much for joining us today. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I was one of those people who hit the wall and started looking for answers. So I totally understand. I got autoimmune disease, and I knew there wasn't going to be a silver pill that was going to make me well. So when they offered me steroids, I said no, and I set out to find out how I could help myself feel good again.
You know, I think everybody hits a sort of a wall at some point in their life, don't you think? I mean, I'm in my 60s, and I think we hit these walls. We hit a wall where, you know, we can fix it with rest, and then we can hit it with eating great for a little while, and then we hit it with a change of lifestyle, and then we hit it with, oh, great, it's time for my kids to go on, and then we hit a wall, and it's bigger than ever, don't you think? Sometimes it's like, how are we going to get over that fence, you know?
Well, and toxic load is accumulative. So right. What I started studying were toxins, because I didn't know what was wrong with me. I didn't even really know what I was looking for. I listened to a whole series of symposiums that kept coming back to chronic diseases because of leaky gut. So I started exploring what was leaky gut and what caused leaky gut. And one of the big things were toxins. So right. I started exploring where were the toxins, and I was shocked because they were in absolutely every category of my life. So over the next 5 years, I eliminated hundreds of them. And found a different doctor. I found a functional doctor who does root cause medicine. And between what she found and my eliminating the toxins, I am feeling great again. I'm not cured, but I'm about 80% better, and I own my own health. And I know there is no magic pill. It's everyday lifestyle changes that are making me well.
You know, as a naturopathic physician, you know, for 15, 20, almost 20 years now, and being in healthcare for 4+ decades, you can see the evolution of how we have decided what's important in our life. You know, when I grew up, I ate normally things from the butcher, things from the farmer. Milk came from the dairy in a glass bottle. There wasn't any fast food, and we lived in, you know, in the mountains in Pennsylvania. And then you look around and you say, what the heck happened, you know? I live now in a place where liquor is, you know, you can get it at the fast foods. Chemical releases and toxic releases, they're saying, oh, it's no big deal. You know, hey, you live across the street from the plant, so who cares? You know, and we always look at the end of the Mississippi River as the heavily pesticides, everything and anything in the U.S. Well, it's dumped into the river, and then guess where our water comes from? The river. Well, you know, we have to start, I think, looking at things. And by looking at things, I mean, you know, we always used to read books and know ideas based upon someone else telling us or something we've read. And that was like the local library, the small books that were in print from the 50s and 60s and 70s. And there really wasn't much there. Along came the internet, and boy, it really blew the roof off of things. People now have so much information, it's like, okay, guys, we all need to start talking. And this chatter just went viral across the globe. Don't you think that was the beginning of when other people, you know, I mean, I knew all of this stuff, and this is the way I lived, but here others were finding out about it on an exponential rate, don't you think?
Yeah, well, thank God for the internet, because it would have taken me a lot more than 5 years to find all these toxins if I was doing research at the library. Everything I found was available on the internet. The problem was it wasn't all together in one place. And so I decided once I started to feel great again that I was going to write a manual to be the manual I wish I'd had when I got sick, that pulled all the information that I had found into one place and could be a guide for people to own their own health, which is the critical part of all of this, and start making changes that will not only be good for their own bodies, but good for their families and good for the earth. Because all these toxins are indeed right, running off into the rivers and just accumulating, making us sicker by the day. And when I first started finding all the toxins, I was kind of angry. Why wasn't our government protecting me from this? But the reality is we can protect ourselves from this. We can become educated, and we can make different choices so that we vote with our dollars. And if enough of us vote with our dollars, industry will start to change and cleaner products will be available on the market. And it's starting to happen. It's just step by step. But as each one of us owns our own health and takes care of what we do buy, as little toxin as possible in the product, we're one step closer to being in good health. Toxic load is accumulative. So each toxin that you eliminate is one step closer to health. So you do it in a systematic way until they're as gone as you can find, and then you give yourself a break on the ones you haven't found yet, and you keep researching until you eventually find those and eliminate them.
You know, I can remember when I was in medical school, people would say, you're going to school for what? A naturopathic what? And, oh, is that a real doctor? You know, and we all laughed about it because we really knew the concepts, you know, of which we're already speaking of today. And that was the way we had all pretty much grown up, most of us. And it was just a way of life. It was normal to us. Yet, I think sometimes people say, oh, are you talking about I have to be one of those ones that wears, you know, carries around the jar of green goop and wears earth sandals, never colors your hair, looks like you came out of, you know, your clothes were kind of all bought at the thrift store. And then, you know, but that's how people looked at it, you know. But now if we actually look at it, what are the millennials doing? They're carrying green goop, they're wearing comfortable shoes, and yes, their clothes are from the thrift store because they believe in less chemicals, better eating, taking care of your body and the structure in which it is, and also about materialism. We don't all need it. So sometimes when new concepts and new ideas come along, there's a lot of boo-hooing, there's a lot of dart throwing, and there's a lot of rebellion, because it's really about who owns the pocketbook and who has a vested interest in the outcome. Right now we're seeing it in the medical community. They've got a vested interest keeping the things the way it should be. Pharmaceuticals the same way. Some professions, they all have it. They've got a vested interest in how this is going to shake down because they don't want to be left out. So I think what you and I speak about is definitely commonly out there. However, it's just a matter of, you know, which side of the defense do you want to dance on, and are you bringing your sword to the game, you know?
I've been speaking locally to a lot of different kinds of groups about what I found, because I really am passionate now. I also am in my late 60s. I'm passionate to get this information out. And it's funny because people who are my age will walk right up to me before I've even opened up my mouth and said, "You're going to tell me I have to eat differently and I'm not going to do it."
Right.
And I turn to them and say, "I don't care. There are a lot of places for you to start to eliminate your toxic load. Mm-hmm. But if you want to live to an old age and feel good while you're doing it, you need to pay attention and start eliminating toxins now." And generally they reapproach me and say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't very nice to you and I did learn a lot." But
right.
I find millennials, little ears pop right up when I'm talking about it,
mm-hmm.
because they see their parents and their grandparents getting ill and they don't want to go there. So there is an immediate interest in what I have to share because they want to eat cleaner, they want to live cleaner, and they're willing to take responsibility to do it themselves. And so it's much easier to impact their lives and the way they're living than to impact people my age and how they're living, although we're the ones who have the greatest toxic load because we've been living with the toxins the longest. So, yeah, I have a phrase, don't wait until you're sick and tired of being sick and tired like I was. The more you do proactively now, you might actually get through life feeling good to the end.
Right.
The common thing that we're asked is, "My husband and I, aren't you deprived?" We are anything but deprived. We eat really well. I cook all my own food now. And just because I don't eat like everybody else doesn't mean I don't eat really delicious food. It's just I prepare it differently so that my body is thriving on it. And I was motivated. I was sick. I couldn't get out of bed. I hurt so much. So when you're motivated, then suddenly it's important that you do this. But really, we should all be doing it before we get to the sick and tired of being sick and tired stage.
Yeah, it takes a while, I think, sometimes to recognize where you are. But even more, it takes a while to be able to say, "I put myself here," or "I got myself here." I didn't just wander in this progression. Do you know what I mean? So sometimes that's a really hard thing to bite off for a lot of people, and then they still want to preserve their identity and say, "Oh no, that wasn't me. That's how I got there." You know?
Right. Well, and with toxic load, I had signals throughout my life, and I didn't recognize them. Little
mm-hmm.
things. My underarm deodorant started bothering me, and some of them made me blisters. Some of them made me rash. That was the beginning of toxic load. Then I was the store manager for a department store, and I had a really hard time going into the cosmetic department because of all the synthetic fragrances that were in the air. So that was my second sign that my toxic load was building. Then my mascara started bothering me, and it didn't matter whether they were hypoallergenic mascara. All mascara seemed to bother my eyes. And then one morning I woke up and my lips were swollen and my tongue was swollen and my eyes were little slits. And that was the precursor to actually not being able to get out of bed a couple months later because everything in my body hurt. I wasn't paying attention to the signs, and I was doing a terrible job of taking care of me. I was very busy taking care of everybody else. I was an entrepreneur. I was taking care of my employees. I had a mom who had multiple system atrophy, and I moved back so I could be in and out of there several times a day for her and check in on her caretaker. I was taking care of everybody but me. I was under stress. I thought that was a great idea. It helped me get more done. Well, I was constantly being chased by a tiger. And all of this stuff causes leaky gut, which then allows your immune system to go haywire, which is what happened to me. So when I started researching, I knew that I was the one who was responsible for where I was. But I was willing to research, learn, and then change my life so that I got my life back. I run into people all the time that have inflammation, and they don't even recognize that that's what's wrong with them. And they want to go to the doctor and get the magic pill, and there is no magic pill. Each pill that they take may do something good for them, but it also takes something away from the body. So you have to be cognizant of what you're doing, and it's the lifestyle changes, and it's the eating organic, clean food of all the colors of the rainbow. Those are the building blocks that you give your body so that your body can help you heal that will make the long-term difference. It's not those pills that are being dispensed at the doctor. I'm not saying doctors aren't good. We need them. But just getting the magic pill isn't going to do the trick. There are no magic pills.
You know, we talk about fruits and vegetables all the time on this show, and I liken this story, and I always repeat it every chance I get because I think it's vitally important, and I mean vitally. I went to a local farmer's market. It was great. Everybody was there, highly publicized, social media. Oh, it's the best one, blah, blah, blah. And I went, and this farmer, he had a huge, huge head of, he had cauliflower and broccoli. And the heads of the cauliflower and broccoli were bigger than the seat on your chair. And they thought that that was absolutely great. And I kind of bought one and I brought it home. And it kind of sat there, kind of looked at it, sat there another day, looked at it again, sat there another day. And I said, no. And each day my energy was going down and down and down around this thing. And finally I said, you know what, I'm done with that, and I threw it out. And I kind of just let the story go on in my head and played it around a little time. And then there was something else that came up in the news, and it was about a chemical plant. And I said, where is the chemical plant? And I wrote it down and let that go too. And eventually all the pieces start to come together. The plant was a half a mile, chemical plant was a half a mile that had been spilling all this stuff for eons, and it was a half a mile from this farm. And the farm thought that it was great because everything was just growing so big, you know. He thought it was great.
Yeah.
However, it was really just sucking down all these toxins and getting bigger. And to me, what it was really saying was that this was an obese broccoli. It had toxins in it. It was fighting them off to keep going and getting bigger and bigger and bigger, you know. And I think when people say, eat local, eat local, it's like, no, I never, ever, 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 ever say eat local. What I say is you need to judge your food, where it's coming from. You need to look back where it started from. Because eating local, that wasn't eating local. That was eating from a farmer's market. In most people's essence, that was an absolutely fantastic thing to do. However, it was 100% the wrong thing to do. What you really wanted to do was to find broccoli seeds yourself and just make broccoli sprouts. And you got, in one handful of broccoli sprouts, you got what you needed from broccoli, which is sulforaphane. And what you are looking at is this big head of this toxic soup. And, you know, we want to say we're doing our best, but what you and I are here saying is there's options on doing your best. You wouldn't have wanted to eat that. Kind of would have wanted to step down. And the next in the area would be go to the natural store and get some broccolini, which is much better. It's a smaller of the plant. Go to the health food store and get some broccoli sprouts. Of course, you don't want to get them in the store if you could grow them yourself. But that's about the progression of taking things of something in the media, something in social media, and this is how it should be, to making a more conscious choice on exactly what goes in your body. If I walked around and bought that guy's broccoli all the time, I'd be sicker than a dog, you know?
Well, I think it's important that you know where the farms are and what's around them. It means that you do some research and you talk to the farmer about what are they doing to grow their plants. Are they using all the chemicals that are being sprayed on our conventional crops? What kind of pesticide control are they doing? Is it natural? There are things that you can do so that you make informed decisions. I think it would be odd to see a gargantuous broccoli. Something was obviously wrong with that. And there are toxins in lots of areas. I'm in California, so you have to be careful where you're buying your things from and what the farm is. But you do want to eat all the nutrients in the vegetables that are grown clean. Obviously, sprouts are ideal and growing your own are ideal, but I'm a city girl, so I don't really have a lot of places to do that in. So I try to educate myself with where I'm getting my vegetables from and how they're growing them and what the area is in the vicinity of where their farm is like. So, you do your own research until you figure it out to the best possible way that you can.
And also, too, I think we've become really bullish as consumers, demanding we have organic blueberries in January, you know, or to have organic sweet potatoes in the middle of summer. I think sometimes the idea of eating seasonal also really escapes us. But however, it's seasonal for where we are is the answer. It's not seasonal across the globe. Because if we are in the Northeast and we really want strawberries, we know that for them to pick them in California where they grow in December and January, they have to pick them earlier and they have to do something to them so that they can last to get to you across the country. You know, I think sometimes we forget about that, that we kind of like want to create an illusion of the story so that it sounds good and say that you're taking responsibility when you really haven't researched the story. In other words, is that an illusion or is it the real truth, you know? And that's really where the biggest amount of toxins come from, is that, you know, when you're demanding that you have, quote, this, this, and this, when you know if they're growing it, they've only got a 4 to 6 week time that they grow it. How the heck long do you think it's going to last in the trucks to get to you, you know? I think we've forgot about that step sometimes, too, and that's where the greatest amount of toxins seem to be coming, too.
Well, being in California, I have a better availability of locally grown vegetables and fruits than most people in the country. So I recommend that you look at organic frozen vegetables and fruits so that you can supplement in the times of year that you can't get them seasonally or close to you. But the closer it is to where it was and when it was picked, the better off you are.
We also talk about all the toxins also that are in cosmetics and the products in our house. I know I've been a dental hygienist for 35 years, and the toxins were horrendous, the amount of them. And now they're starting to put out these powders and these clays and different things like that to be able to use for to clean your teeth. And I'm going, you know, y'all, you're just substituting one issue for another issue sometimes. And we tend to say, I'm hoping it's a little bit better because so-and-so said, you know. But it definitely is about getting away from a lot of the extra fluorides, a lot of the different toxins, the triclosans, and all that other stuff that we kind of don't need.
There's a whole long list of things that you don't need. And there's a great database where you can look up the ingredients in your cosmetics. You can actually look up almost all kinds of toxins. And that's from EWG.org, the Environmental Working Group. They have hundreds of thousands of items in their database, and they rate them from 1 to 10 as to how toxic they are. So if you have a favorite cosmetic, you might be able to look it up by brand and by item, but if not, you can look up the ingredients in that cosmetic in the EWG database, and they'll tell you how toxic it is. I also list, I think, the top 12 toxins that are in cosmetics in my book so that you can look and see if those toxins are in the products that you were using. I was using very expensive cosmetics and they were all poisoning me. I was shocked. So I have now found things that are ones and twos on the EWG scale that serve my body better. And it took some time to find ones that I really liked that were low in toxins, but I'm very happy with the products that I'm using now, and they are much lower in toxins than what I was originally using.
And I think also the concept of what is healthy in your home, chemicals underneath the sink kind of idea, the spray for this, the spray for that. And even now with flu season, getting really perpetual. The people are saying, I have to have 4 or 5 products to clean my house because my kids are sick. So, and really, is that really cleaning your house, or is that decreasing your immunity and further increasing the overload in your
home? A lot of times it's decreasing your immunity. There are also some great cleaning products on the market that are very low in toxin. And then some of the things that our grandparents used, vinegar, hydrogen peroxide, they kill germs and they clean your house very well without the side effect of all the toxins. So there are a lot of things that you can use that don't impact your immunity, and a lot of scents that can be avoided that are impacting your immunity because we want our ear to smell nice and we do all these crazy things, but they're loaded with toxins and they're not good for us. So it's finding, again, the database on EWG. you can research and find things. Some of them are old-fashioned things to clean your house with. I found an amazing cleaning product that's made with plant enzymes. It's rated a 1 on the EWG scale, and it's called Branch Basics. And I use it for everything. I clean my kitchen with it. I clean my floors with it. I clean my bathrooms with it because it's a pretty amazing product. And what I first fell in love with it for was I eat a lot of eggs, the free-run chicken eggs, and I don't like the way they stick on the pan. So if I spray it with Branch Basics after I'm done cooking it, I go away for 5 minutes and then it just slides right off my pan and I can wash my pan and put it away. So there are things out there that are pretty amazing products. Small entrepreneurial companies are coming up with relatively toxic-free products all the time now. So I'm trying to support those companies and point them out in my newsletters so that they get the credit they deserve for creating a healthier product for us all to use. And in terms of cleaning, the most toxic thing in your house are those little pods you wash your dishes and your laundry with. They're so toxic that if your toddler were to pick them up and bite into it, you might not even be able to get them into emergency on time. They're like vilely toxic. So being aware of all of this and what you're using is really important. And there are toxins everywhere. There's toxins in our food, in our fast food, in our processed food, in our meat. Eating clean meat, if you're going to eat meat, is really critical. In our water, putting a water filter underneath your sink to get a lot of the toxins out of your water is important. And then not putting in plastic, putting into stainless steel when you're going to be leaving the house so that you have a clean bottle with clean water in it for you to be drinking while you're running around. Plastic water is plastic bottled water, which is generally, I think, 200 times more expensive than what comes out of your sink, is more toxic than what you're getting out of your sink. And then, in addition, it's getting all the leaching of the toxins from the plastic into it. And if it gets hot, then it leaches even more chemicals. So it's kind of scary because, plus it's horrific for our earth. The plastic is going everywhere, and there's no way to get rid of it. So learning to filter your own water, putting it into stainless steel that is not magnetic so that it doesn't have nickel in it, all of this is really important in just in terms of what you're putting into your body.
You also talked about organic and GMOs. We always talk about GMOs, and everybody's on the run now to put a sticker on their food and saying I'm a non-GMO. We even see commercials for it on television, you know, and people say, oh, some people say, I don't care. I was at Trader Joe's the other day, and the oranges were on the top, and I said to the lady, this is the pile with the organic. She says, oh, I don't really care. And she just took out what she wanted. And, you know, I think it's really about education. It's really about information. And it's
yeah,
really
people
about
don't know what GMO is. I didn't know what GMO was. But GMO is not the only problem, how they're growing our conventional products is also a problem, but starting with GMOs, there's two kinds of GMOs. One is actually having BT toxin put into it so that from the inside, when an insect eats the outside, it explodes the bug's stomach. So obviously the bug dies, but unfortunately our guts are loaded with bugs too. So when our little gut bacteria eats a genetically modified food, they're little stomachs are blowing up, so we don't have the good bacteria that we should have, which allows the bad bacteria to take over. So that's the first kind of genetically modified. I can't imagine anybody would think eating pesticide that's already grown in their food is a good idea. But the second kind of genetically modified are plants that are modified so that they can be sprayed more heavily with toxic herbicides and pesticides. They're called Roundup Ready. And glyphosate, which is the main ingredient in Roundup, is extremely problematic on a variety of levels. It's not allowing our plants to get the minerals out of the earth that we used to get when you and I were young. And then when the food gets into our stomach, it blocks what minerals the plant did get from going into our system. It now is shown that it can go up the vagus nerve to our brains, and it's causing all kinds of problems with dementia. Glyphosate has never really been researched thoroughly because Monsanto hasn't allowed it to be. And so when somebody can convince me that eating pesticides and herbicides is good for me, then I'd be happy to listen. But in the meantime, I think it's really important to avoid as many of those toxins as much as possible. There is a list that EWG puts out called the 30 Dozen, which is now 18 items. They couldn't avoid adding the extra six. And those are items that have so many toxins on them that even after they were washed four times, they were still loaded with toxins. And that list, you can find it on my website. You can find it on DWG. If it's on the Dirty Dozen, you don't buy it unless it's organic. That at least gives you a running start. But they also do a Clean 15, which are 15 items that it doesn't matter if you buy them organic or not. So that's a good place to start cleaning up your food. And things on the Dirty Dozen are things like strawberries and spinach and nectarines and apples. There's also a genetically modified apple. So this is an apple that, whether it's genetically modified or not, it's just loaded with pesticides. Potatoes have something like 76 different pesticides on them. So if you aren't buying an organic potato, you are just giving yourself a mega dose of things that are not going to be good for your body. And as all these toxins build up in your body, that's when you go into toxic load. And they come through your skin, they come through your food, they come through your water, they're coming at us everywhere, and we really need to be cognizant and clean them up.
Also, too, we talk about the idea of toxic thoughts, toxic relationships, and sleep, all which we all need. And I think when people come at you and they kind of like, what they say, get your stomach in a rise, they get your goat going, they get you a little annoyed, and your stomach is in knots and you're trying to eat, and that's a real problem because you can't digest food properly. Or if you have times when you're saying, I'm rushing, and my mind won't shut off and I need to sleep, but, oh, well, you know, sleep's not that important. But then your body has no time to regenerate and to be able to do the job that it was meant to do. You couldn't take your car and consistently 24 hours a day, drive it and expect it to say, I'm pooped at the end of the week. You know, we do that to our bodies and we say, what really is all of that about? And no, that's not important. That doesn't affect our health when it really does.
Both stress and sleep are critical to health. There's a new book out on sleep that actually thinks it's more important to make sure you get 7 hours of sleep a night than even controlling your stress because of how much it impacts the body. I was kind of under the assumption that when I slept, my whole body was quiet. I knew that now when you go to sleep, your gut is doing the tune-up in your body. It's orchestrating everything. It's the second brain, and it's making sure that all of your body systems are working the way they're supposed to and that your liver is detoxing the crud that went to it during the day. It's very busy, so you need at least a full 8 hours so it can go through that cycle. But it's also important, the last hour of the 7 hours of sleep is busy scrubbing your brain, which is one of the things that takes care of brain fog and eventual dementia. That last hour is the most important hour of the sleep cycle. And they have lots of scientific studies now that prove that. So sleep is critical. And then I knew that stress was important because it was the second thing that it was strongly believed caused leaky gut, which was what led to autoimmune disease. So I did write a whole chapter on all of these things because stress, you need to clean it up. There's a very simple exercise that's my favorite. I give, I think, 35 different suggestions on how to control stress. But my favorite is a breathing exercise by Dr. Andrew Weil, and it's called the 4-7-8 breathing exercise. You can actually Google him, and you can watch him doing this exercise himself. He's the first integrative doctor who believed in marrying all the different modalities of health into one practice. His 4-7-8 breathing exercise actually lowers your parasympathetic nervous system, and it releases a lot of stress. I go to a doctor now that's an hour away from me. She's a functional doctor, and because I live in Los Angeles, I hit horrific traffic every time I'm going out there. So I have learned while I'm in the car to just be doing the 4-7-8 breathing cycle. He only recommends that you do it 3 times, twice a day, and that's what you need to release stress. But if I'm in a stressful situation, I do it over and over again. when I get to my doctor's office, my blood pressure is normal and my pulse is low because I've been doing that breathing exercise. So it obviously does what it's supposed to do, and it's such an easy exercise to do as long as you stay cognizant to do it a couple times a day.
We also talk about allergies and food sensitivities with soy, dairy, gluten these days, seafood allergies, peanuts, and so many times people say, oh, I'm allergic to it, I can't eat it. However, they just think about it in one form. You know, we can look at soy and dairy. They can come in all different ways on labels and all kinds of products. Even when you go out to eat, it ends up into your food no matter what, even if you've told somebody that you couldn't have it. I know myself, I'm allergic to seafood, and I went into one of these Chinese restaurants, and it was a chain, and I said, what can I have on your menu? And she came back with a list, and she said, here it is, white rice. Everything in our store has it in it. There's some way, somehow, some form is going to be contaminated with it. So, of course, you have to ask those questions, because if you sat down and said, I'm going to have a vegetable in a Chinese restaurant and I'm going to have some rice with soy sauce on it, you've already gotten your dose of seafood.
Right.
You have no idea about that. I think it's really about being educated on what you can do and what you cannot do, and also to look up things on your own. Eating in is 99% of the game these days. So no matter what, when you go out, you have no clue what you're getting.
If you cook your own food, you can control what goes into your mouth. So that's really critical. You need to cook your own food. There is now known to be a difference between sensitivities and allergies. When I got tested for allergies by my conventional doctor, the only thing I was allergic to was the tape that held the test on my back.
Right.
But when I got to my functional doctor, she ran a series of sensitivity tests through a company named Genova. And it ends up I have what I call my kryptonite foods. There are 18 of them. And if I eat one of those foods, I blow up, I get inflamed, and I get pain. So it's really important that I avoid them. So not only am I very careful reading labels when I buy products at the grocery store, but if I'm going to go to a restaurant, I've actually printed all 18 of my sensitivities on a business card. I will call ahead of time and talk to the chef to make sure that he can accommodate me. And you're right, there. Fennel is one of my sensitivities. Fennel, I had no idea. It's in so many things. Soy is in everything. That's another one of my sensitivities. And dairy is one of my sensitivities. We were just on retreat where they were putting dairy-free on things that still had goat milk and sheep milk in it. So I was reacting, and I couldn't figure out why I was reacting. Well, it's because it's the casein and the whey in the dairy that I have a problem with, and it doesn't matter if it's cow's milk, goat milk, or sheep milk. So it's being kind of pushy, asking a lot of questions, making sure you know what's going into your food and if you're in a restaurant. And where I go eat out, I have now formed a relationship with that restaurant, so they know me, they keep my card on file, and they know when I come in they're going to have to be especially careful in terms of feeding me. So little things like I'm sensitive to canola oil, but when I ask for olive oil, a lot of times it's a combination olive canola oil. So I actually ask to see the bottle now, so that I can see if it's olive oil or if it's olive canola oil, so that I can take care of myself. I got married 3 years ago, and we went to Italy on our honeymoon, and the restaurants there are now putting on their menu a back sheet that has numbers with all of the possible sensitivities, and then they assign it a number. And then on the menu, if you want to order this dish, you know it has 1, 5, and 9 in it, and you can look on the back and see what those items are. So that for the first time, I could be responsible for what I was ordering, or I could negotiate, this has soy in it. Is there anything you can do that would take the soy out, or should I avoid that and order something else? Having that kind of power over what goes in my mouth is fabulous, but we're not there yet. But you can still do it by forming a relationship with the restaurant that you're eating at, and then making sure that they're informed of what's going to bother you, because they don't want you to have a reaction either to their food.
You know, I think also to the idea over decades, we say, oh, well, I feel okay, and you don't even know how bad you really actually feel until one day all of a sudden you're able to feel better than that, and you say, I didn't know how bad I actually felt. since everything is really a toxic accumulation, we look at it as decades. And people say in their 40s, 50s, and 60s, man, I really wish I felt like I was in my 20s. Well, sometimes you can if you start to reverse that chain of what's been building up or what you're still putting in there. We so much want to say that I'm just going to take a few drugs, I'm going to go for a little retreat, I'm going to clean a few things out, and I'm good to go. And then we turn around and have the same habits. It's really about creating change in your life, because otherwise whatever you're putting in is just wasting your time. You're kind of just really breaking down the system, in effect.
Well, and the change is worth it if you feel good. And if you feel bad if you don't do it, then you wish you had been careful and that you were doing the things that made you feel good. It gets easier and easier for me to eat this way and live this way because I know what it felt like not to feel good, and I don't ever want to go back there. So all of these things that I've done are easy to continue because my body tells me that it's the right thing for me.
Yeah, I think to be able to identify, are you in trouble or are you not in trouble, and what kind of trouble can you get yourself out of, is really a quandary. Sometimes we see people with chronic disease and they say, but it has to have a label. It has a diagnosis. And when I get the diagnosis, then I'm going to have something that I'm going to fight, going to have something to do with it, and I'm going to take it on with this drug or this surgery. And really they end up in the same thing where the pain, the inflammation, and the tendencies and the issues just seem to shift to another part of their body, shift to another area, and just show up as something else later on in life. It's sometimes a real quandary where you feel like you're constantly chasing the cat through the mine and you don't really know where you're going to come out on the end. So really that's where it really takes a lot of investigation to say, where are you now? How do you think you got here? And can we try to turn the tide back a little? Really, that's what it is about, getting out toxins to reverse inflammation. And, you know, if I really want to feel better, I've got to have some participation in this. It's not something that someone else is going to do for me.
There's a whole chapter at the beginning of my book on do you have inflammation, because people don't know that they have it. And although I wrote the book geared towards people who have autoimmune disease, which is now 60 million of us, I have since learned that inflammation is really one of the core problems with all chronic illness, whether it's cancer or heart disease or strokes or Alzheimer's or Parkinson's, even depression. It all starts with inflammation. So knowing if you're having the early signs of inflammation is really important in terms of being the signal that you need to start changing now so that you don't go down that road and end up with one of those chronic illnesses. And there's simple things. I had days that I thought were good days and bad days when I looked in the mirror. There were days when I could tell my face was all puffy. That was inflammation. I didn't identify it as that. So there's simple things that you can pay attention to that tell you whether your chronic pain is going to be coming around the corner because the inflammation is growing in your body. And then you take hold of it and you do the things so that you don't go down that road. You want to stay as clean and as healthy as possible because we want to live long and thrive. My husband's joke is he wants to die with a smile on his face because he wants to feel good to the end. And I agree with him completely.
You know, I think also, too, in closing, let's touch for a second on heart disease. People have a lot of trouble with their hearts, and they think it has no relationship whatsoever to anything that's going on in your body. I even saw a friend, they would take care of themselves, and then they said, okay, well, I had a heart attack, and now they're changing their body, and they're going and they're doing exercises at the gym and everything. And then the person just ended up passing away on the treadmill because they hadn't addressed the other things in their life. Their job was still really stressful, their eating habits were through the roof, and they really hadn't cleaned anything out. They just thought that exercising and randomly eating better was going to save them. I think it's really about being able to say, it's about a full treatment plan. It's about being able to look at your life in many areas of it and not just pigeonhole yourself and really do say, I'm taking out the trash. Am I cleaning out the garbage can? Am I making sure it's compost? Am I making sure I put in less garbage in the first place? So it's really about what is your full circle into your body? because really just pigeonholing it, you're really not getting anywhere at all anyway.
Well, and unfortunately, conventional doctors, I understand, only get a half a day on nutrition. Obviously, as a natural doctor, you were very well informed on all of the things that we're talking about. But unfortunately, conventional doctors aren't, which is one reason they say you need to lose weight. And they say, what am I supposed to do? Well, just eat less. They really don't know. But eating clean, eating a lot of vegetables, eating the colors of the rainbow, taking care of your body, reducing your stress, getting 7 hours of sleep, making sure that you're not in a toxic relationship. I was when I got sick. So cleaning that up, it's all part of health. You need to be creating as little stress on your body as possible and then giving your body the right building block so that it can be healthy and support you. And is exercise part of that? Yes, there's even a chapter in my book about toxic lack of exercise, and I'm one of those people who didn't like to exercise, so I certainly needed to learn ways that I enjoyed exercising. But it's critical. So you need to be doing all the different things, and you feel good. So the more you do them, the more your body's good and the more you want to do them. And so that's kind of the key to the whole thing.
Well, Cheryl, we've come to the end of our time today. Could you share with the listeners how to find out more information about you? That would be great.
I have a website, which is S, Cheryl M, like Meyer, and it's Cheryl with a C, Cheryl M Health Muse, MUSE.com. You can buy the book on my website. I have great blogs that you can read about health. And there's all kinds of other information on my website about some of the products that I use that and how I cook and cookbooks that I like and just different things that will be very helpful. I've done several podcasts. You can listen to this one and other ones from my website. A Facebook page called It Feels Good to Feel Good. My Cheryl M. Health Muse has a Facebook page. All of these are places that you can watch me, see what I think is important, and stay educated.
Well, Cheryl, thank you so much for your time. It's such a pleasure to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I've loved the conversation.
If you'd like to find out more information about Cheryl Meyer, again, the book is It Feels Good to Feel Good. Please do click on the bottom of today's show page and go directly to her website. Check it out for more information. You'll be able to find some different tips and sign up for her newsletter and be able to say, you know, I don't know where I am, but I could always feel better. Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Jeanette Gallagher. Until tomorrow, have a great day.
Today we discussed many life-changing concepts. Who do you turn to and how do you know what is best when faced with a health crisis? Dr. Jeanette is a patient advocate. She listens to the patient, the doctors, and the family, clarifies the health issues and concerns, then helps the patient make the best choices going forward. If you would like help implementing change into your life and health, we can talk and see where you are stuck and how to improve the quality of your life. Check the link on the bottom of today's show page or visit drjeanettegallagher.com to schedule a phone appointment today.